When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to part two of Next on the Tee. We're not done yet. Coming up, more stories, more insight, and more reasons to love this game. Let's dive right back in. Part two starts now, right here on Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better.
Hey, Next on the Tee Nation, thank you so much for coming back and pressing play on part two of this week's show featuring my conversation with Matt Cahill. Matt is a wonderful human being, first and foremost, and a great player and a great PGA professional on top of that. Matt has been a wonderful player going all the way back to the 2007 Junior Team Championship that he was a part of, the 2008 U.S. Junior Amateur, the U.S. Amateur in 2009, all the way up to playing in the 2023 PGA Championship. So I think you're really going to get a kick out of Matt. You're going to fall in love with him because he's just that kind of person. His personality is fantastic. So I'm really excited to have Matt as part of the show. He's a great friend of Tom Patry's. I didn't let that deter me when I was inviting him to be part of the show. Despite his relationship with TP, I said, you know what? I'm going to give this guy a shot. And I am so glad I did. And so are you going to be. So sit back, relax. Let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next half hour or so. Okay, but before we get into all of that, I want to start off by reminding you about our wonderful friends over at 2Under. 2Under Men's Performance Briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2, UNDR.com. 2Under, performance in your pants.
Sure, this is golf, but so is this. And this. And this is definitely golf. And so is this. Hey, that's not golf. Oh, wait, yeah, it is. And no matter what your golf is, you're gonna need a store. No, a superstore. A place to get fit for a new club and walk out with it the same day. A place to find the perfect fit. A place to do whatever this is. Because this is golf. And this is golf's superstore.
Okay, now making his Next on the Tee debut with me is Matt Cahill. Let me give you a little background on Matt. He's from Delray Beach, Florida. He is the first generation of his family, at least on his father's side, born here in the States. His father is from over in Ireland. Matt was a part of the winning team at the 2007 Junior Team Championship. He played in the 2008 U.S. Junior Amateur at Shoal Creek, a course he would later go back to as an intern. 2009, he played in the U.S. Amateur at Southern Hills, and later on, he would go on in 2023 to be a player in the PGA Championship. Going back to his college days, he attended Florida State and graduated with his degree in finance and from their PGA Golf Management program. Part of the requirement was 16 months of internships, which he got to do at Shoal Creek, Seminole, and Oakmont. A year after Oakmont, Matt headed over to Massachusetts and worked at the Catansett Club down on Cape Cod for a couple of years before heading over to Shinnecock, then becoming a fixture there at Seminole. Tom Patrick recommended Matt to me, and I didn't hold that against him because so did Bob Ford, and I'm glad that I get to have Matt with me this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Chris, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
So before we get started, I know you've been kind of sitting there in the background, but Tom Patrick, I give him a hard time, but I love that guy. He wanted me to pass on his best wishes to you. So I know the two of you are close. He talked about how you guys actually just went out and played golf yesterday.
Yeah, he's become a great friend. When I go over to the West Coast, I usually stay with him and his wife, Denise, son, PJ, just great people. I've gotten very close with them. And you know, he's a friend, he's a mentor, always loves spending a few minutes with TP, getting his view on things and his take on things. One of the old school pros that's still hanging around, and love hearing what he has to say and his thoughts on things. I really cherish our friendship.
Emphasis on the old and the old pros. I mean, you go out there, I can't believe you didn't give TP2 a side. I mean, the guy's like three times your age.
You know, he's out there, he's cutting right down the center of those fairways yesterday. He played great. He's swinging it nicely, but you can't give him any shots. He's too proud to take any shots from me.
No doubt. So, Matt, I want to start by going back to close to the beginning with you. And like I mentioned in your intro, you're at least partially a first-generation U.S. citizen, at least on your dad's side. He was from Ireland. What got your dad to move over to the States from Ireland?
You know, he had an older brother that came over to the States, absolutely loved it, convinced him to come on over, just check it out and see it. And he went over and never left. He was in New York and Queens and absolutely loved everything about it, decided to just stay. And he's been here ever since. So they came down to Florida probably about 5 years after that, once he met my mom. And that's why I ended up in Boca Raton, Delray area.
And Matt, I read that you frequently went back over to Ireland as a kid to visit family, and you got to play some golf while you were over there. What are some of your favorite Irish golf memories?
You know, just my brother, older brother and I, we used to ship us over there for about 3 months, stay with family. And that was kind of our summer vacation. Instead of going to camp, we went to Ireland, and great memories as kids running around. We were on the countryside on the West Coast and playing some golf, a little local golf club called Tippecurry, and carrying my own clubs and be out there pretty much the whole day playing. And they had to pull me off the golf course at about 10 o'clock at night and get me home. So I really love it over there. The lifestyle, the people, it's magic. And I try to get back over there every chance I get.
Speaking of the whole day, I also read that you were one of those kids where your father dropped you off at the golf course early in the morning, gave you some lunch money, and then would pick you up later in the day. Talk about those days.
There's another part of my summer camp is he would drop me off on his way to work about 7:30, a club called the Links of Boynton Beach. It's the local municipal by our house. And he would drop me off at 7:30. He'd give me a little cash to get some chicken fingers at about 12 o'clock. And I would play probably 45, 54 holes on the executive course, chip, putt. There were some other kids that were there too. That was a great way to grow up and learn life lessons. And obviously, I love the game. I love playing the game. And, you know, I got competitive and worked on my game all day, every day. It was spectacular. I really loved it as a kid.
2007, 8, and 9 were some big years for you. I want to kind of go through those because you played in some big events. Talk about what it was like being a part of the 2007 U.S. Junior Championship.
Yeah, it's, you know, that was pretty cool. As I started to get more competitive, my game got a little better. And you know, part of that is you qualify for some big events, and playing in the Junior Am was probably the first time that I had really found myself on a big stage with some of the best juniors in the country at that time. And, you know, you get to see how you stack up, and the beauty of golf is, you know, it's all on you, and either you got it or you don't. And you play some rounds of golf, you learn some things about yourself, and you keep picking yourself back up and trying to do it again. So the Junior Am was special. The US Am the next year was just on another top level. And there's something about competitive golf that you just put it all on the line and see how you do. And when you don't succeed, you try again. I love listening to Dr. Bob Winters before. Just, you know, you learn from mistakes, you learn from bad rounds of golf, and it serves you better down the road after those failures, for sure.
In 08, you get your first taste of Shoal Creek at that U.S. Junior Am. Talk about that event and what made you fall in love with Shoal Creek.
You know, it's a beautiful private club just on the southern side of Birmingham. And you go over this mountain when you get there, and it's so peaceful. They've hosted some major championships there, and playing golf there. I love the area. I love the people. I love the club. And, you know, when I ended up going to Florida State, they said you can go anywhere you want to as long as there's a PGA member to do an internship. And I could think of no other place I'd like to go spend 6 months than Shoal Creek. And gave them a call, and they had a alumni from Florida State that was a pro there. And that was my connection. And next thing you know, I'm finishing up spring semester and driving to Birmingham. And spent 6 months there, which was just the greatest experience ever. Worked for Eric Williamson, who's now at Charlotte Country Club. My first day there, I rolled in, and you know, I'm here to go, expecting to go start working. I said, "Hey, we need somebody to play with this group. You're on a tee." I said, "Well, I could get used to this." You know, most people are internships. You know, they're carrying mail and, you know, getting coffee for the senior management. And here I am playing golf with members on day one. So you think I don't love this business? That's one of the special parts about it.
No doubt. I look back at that 2009 U.S. Amateur Championship at Southern Hills, and you were in the field with a ton of recognizable names. I was going down looking at all the scores. I mean, Jordan Spieth, Peter Uihlein, Tim Jackson, who was a friend back in Memphis, Ricky Fowler, Brian Harman, Bud Cauley, David Lingmuth, Cameron Tringali, Nathan Smith, who was a hometown Pittsburgh guy, Scott Langley, Taylor Gooch, Kevin Tway, Ben Ahn, Peter Maldonado, Patrick Reed. I could go on and on. What was it like for you rolling up to that place trying to compete with those guys?
It's kind of funny, Chris. Out of 312 players, I was the only one I've never heard of. But, you know, there you are. It's the biggest tournament in the world, the most players that qualify for it. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to make it in the playoff and got in. And, you know, you show up here and there's cameras everywhere. There's college coaches. There's, you know, media. There's just it's on a whole different level and just great experience. I tried to enjoy every second of it. The golf course was tough as nails. They had it set up really challenging. And, you know, there you go. You get to really see what I need to work on to get better. That showed me pretty plain and simple that week for sure.
Just qualifying to play in events like the U.S. Junior Championship or the USAM shows that you're one of the top young players in the game. You eventually had to make a decision to either continue down the path that maybe getting out on tour or going down the path of being a PGA professional. At the time, Florida State had one of the few PGA golf management programs in the country. Talk about why you decided to take the path you did.
Yeah, you know, I had some great mentors growing up, and, you know, I'll name a couple, Mike McClellan and Don Ma, who were both PGA members down here in South Florida. And, you know, those two, Dan Hager, who taught me how to play the game, was another one. I loved the impact that PGA professionals could have on other people. And they were so helpful to me, not just with my golf, but just learning lessons. They drove me to tournaments. They were always kind of there for me as like, you know, third and fourth father figures. And I loved playing golf, and college golf was definitely on my radar. But I felt like when I finished school, I wanted to have a career in golf so I could have the same impact that those professionals had on me, on other people. And, you know, at the end of it, you know, I could have gone and played college golf somewhere, but I really, you know, obviously I'm thrilled with the choice I made, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I really, I love the fact that I made that decision and haven't looked back one second.
Matt, Bob Ford is obviously an amazing man. I've had the privilege of having him on the show several times. I think the world of him. And even though the only thing he really has to do with the show is coming on and being a guest once or twice a year, now, I hold myself to a really high standard to do this show, but I also would never want to disappoint Bob Ford or Tom Patry, for that matter. I would be crushed if I, you know, ever got contacted by Bob or Tom and they said they were disappointed about something related to the show. Is it similar for you where you want to be sure not only to meet your own high standards and the things that you set for yourself, but also make Bob proud about everything that you're doing?
No question, Chris. You know, he has been so helpful to me in so many ways. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't be where I am today without him. And, you know, part of my philosophy of becoming a PGA member is, you know, you want to make an impact in other people's lives and help them along the way. And I feel like the best payback I can ever give to Bob is to do a great job and be the best PGA professional, the best gentleman I could possibly be. And, you know, I never want to let him down. I always want to try to set a good example and repeat kind of what he did to me and how he took me along.
So who has higher expectations, Bob Ford or Jimmy Dunn?
Jimmy Dunn by a landslide.
Is that right?
Not even close. But yeah, they're both incredibly successful in many different ways. You know, Jimmy Dunn is the most supportive club president boss you could possibly ever have, and I definitely have gotten miles better being around him and spending time with him. And you know, everybody teaches you a little differently, and you know, you just hope to improve yourself every day and get a little better along the way.
I'll tell you what, Matt, I maintain, and I know the PGA Tour has gone through a lot and they've gone through a CEO change and all of that. But I've been saying for years, the last couple of years, particularly since the whole PGA Tour Live thing had come about, that the PGA would be in a lot better position, the tour, if Jimmy Dunn was the commissioner as opposed to Jay Monahan.
He does a heck of a job. And, you know, through that whole process, he poured his heart, his soul, his time into that process and Ed Herlihy and that whole group. And, you know, it was a tumultuous time. And to me, there's nobody better to take the reins than that man.
You were at Shinnecock back in 2018 when the U.S. Open was held there. That was the year Brooks Koepka edged out Tommy Fleetwood and Dustin Johnson to win his second consecutive U.S. Open. DJ could have run away with that tournament. He had a 4-shot lead after 36 holes, but shot 77 in the third round to bring the field back into it. Tommy Fleetwood goes out and shoots 63, only the sixth player ever to shoot 63 in a U.S. Open in that final round to get himself right back in. There really almost had 62, missed a putt on 18 for 62, but Brooks' winning score was one over, so no one broke par that week. Looking back on it, what was it like for you being a part of the team that hosted the U.S. Open that year?
Well, it's so cool to be the host club of a U.S. Open. Jack Druga, our head professional at the time, working for him was a dream come true. Being at Shinnecock was a dream come true. And then, you know, the world's, you know, biggest championship of the year, the U.S. Open, comes to town. And we ran the practice area that whole week. So you got to spend time with players, see them up close, kind of get a little bit, a look behind the curtain of what's going on other than what you see on TV. And the golf course, it's always stands the test of time. I mean, it's tough when the wind gets blowing, the greens are tricky. You just have to be really on your game, and it goes to show that the best player in the world that week was one over par. It's something else.
In 2023, you qualified to play in your first major, the PGA Championship at Oak Hill, thanks to a tied for second that you had at the PGA Professional Championship. Talk about being inside the ropes this time at a major championship.
How many times in 7 days can you pinch yourself? You know, I people ask me, what's the best part of the week? I actually thought the parking right out in front of the clubhouse was kind of nice.
It's the simple thing.
You know, it's unbelievable to be, you've got your eye, you know, you're walking down the fairway and, you know, you see Rory McIlroy and they're hitting balls and you're hitting right next to them. Yeah, I felt like a Make-A-Wish kid for the week. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Every time I turned around, like, is this really happening? And, you know, talk about jitters on the first tee. Yeah, and Bob gave me great advice. Jack Druga gave me great advice. You know, go play some practice rounds with some, you know, pretty prominent players and kind of get the nerves out of the way. And, you know, Monday I walk over to the tee, there's no tee times. And, you know, I come over this bridge to get to the first tee. And I'm like, oh, you know, see who's over there. And it was Colin Morikawa. Well, might as well get this one out of the way. And I'm telling you, I said, Colin, you mind if I play nine holes with you? And, you know, I was kind of expecting him to say, no, I'm busy. And he was great. He said, absolutely. And my heart just sank.
Wow.
And I said, well, there's about 1,000 people here. You know, this is going to be pretty embarrassing if I don't get this thing in the air. And, you know, luckily I hit a nice heel jammer down the left side in the fairway. And it turned out it was great and got that practice round out of the way. And then, honestly, by Thursday, you kind of get it all out of your system and you're actually focused on the tournament. It's like, let's go play good golf. And I gave it a good run, a couple putts here and there. I could have made the cut. But what a week. I will never forget playing practice round with Shane Lowry and Padraig Harrington, who was my idol growing up. Obviously, being Irish, playing with those two was a treat. And just so many different memories from that week. And it just makes you really gets the fire going that you want to try to get back on just one more time at least.
I saw the picture that you have up on your Instagram page of you and Padraig Harrington. It's kind of, you know, you as a kid getting the autograph from Padraig. It's kind of like, you know, here's how it started. Here's how it is. Yeah. And then years later, obviously next to him, talk about what was that like getting to kind of go back. Like, hey, remember, I was a kid and here's the picture and all of that.
He got the biggest kick out of it. You know, my dad was there with us and he had the picture and he texted it to me. You know, I knew I was going to play a practice round with Padraig the following day. So he texted me the picture. And I, you know, we were waiting on one of the tee boxes. I said, Padraig, you're not going to believe this, but this is me when I was 12 years old watching you at the Players Championship. And, you know, he kind of joked about it. He's like, we should get another picture like that. You know, do a little update.
That's awesome.
So, we got a huge kick out of that. He couldn't have been nicer. And you know, obviously it's a major championship. They're preparing as, you know, they want to win the tournament. They want to play great. But for them to spend time with me and talk to me about my life and what I do and be interested and genuine about it was pretty special.
Matt, everyone knew that following the Walker Cup matches in 2021, that Mr. Ford was going to retire. He had already retired from Oakmont. Now, Bob told me when he was on the show that he was asked by Jimmy Dunn to create a short list of replacement candidates, and they sort of had a back and forth about, hey, when are you going to give me that list? When are you going to give me that list? And then Bob eventually told Jimmy that the list is Matt Cahill. What was it like for you? When did you know that you were essentially on a list of replacements of one?
It was about 18 months before it actually happened. And, you know, I remember Bob and I had a conversation about another job that was opening up down here in South Florida. You know, I said, Bob, what do you think? You know, this is where I want to be. This would be a pretty good club. And, you know, it's got a nice membership. And, you know, Bob just kind of, he looked at me, gave me like a 20-second stare. And then he said, well, what about here? And I said, what do you mean, what about here? And he's like, you know, I think you're in pretty good shape here. I said, like, really? I mean, this is just total. Never in a million years. I love Seminole. And never in a million years did I think I was even on the list. And, you know, 6 months went by and finally had the conversation with Jimmy Dunn that says, you know, listen, Bob wants you, you know, I like what you're doing, but you have 12 months basically to not screw anything up. and he said, if you get through that, he said, you're great. If not, I'm not even going to interview you in the list of candidates. It's like, you're done. And I got to tell you, Chris, in that 12 months, wow. I slept on average about 3.5 hours. But, you know, then he had that conversation with me and it's just like, wow, this could really, you know, this could really happen. And, you know, I told my wife, she's the only person I told, I didn't tell anybody else. And, you know, just trying to kept about my business and worked hard and tried to put my time in. And sure enough, it just worked out. And I mean, it's to say it's a dream come true. It's just, I'm still pinching myself every day I go in there. It's just, it's incredibly special. And I'm so honored to be a golf professional at Seminole Golf Club.
So you were on a list of one to replace Bob there, but you're also only the 9th head pro there at Seminole. You join World Golf Hall of Famer Henry Picard, 1948 Masters champion Claude Harmon, plus Jerry Pittman, who finished tied for 7th at the 68 Masters and U.S. Open, and of course Bob Ford and a few prior to all of those guys. But you said this earlier about yourself there at the USM, but I read that you made a statement that when you look at the guys that are the head pros there at Seminole, you are the only guy on that list that you had never heard of.
There's a sign in the locker room that has all the pros and the years that they were there. And, you know, when they look at that list, you know, Claude Harmon, Jerry Pittman, Bob Ford, Henry Picard, it's an unbelievable list and great golf professionals, great people. They could all play. You know, I felt like, you know, my game was good, but, you know, really making that PGA championship and showing people that, you know, I'm not just a hard worker. I can also play golf a little bit. You know, it made me feel a little better about it. And it's an incredible list. And to have my name on there, I never would have thought in a million years. And I'm just, Seminole is a golf club and it's all about golf. And to be a golf professional at a golf club where that's the main focus day in and day out, it's really special.
Matt, one more before I let you go. And Bob kept the standard up for 21 years there at Seminole and then handed the reins over to you. Eventually, you're going to have to hand those same reins over to someone else At some point, you're going to have to start that evaluation process of who's worthy for taking them over from you. I know that's going to be, you know, 20, 25 years down the road from now. But when you look out that far out, that's a huge responsibility for taking a club where you are the ninth guy to be the head club pro, and you're going to have to hand those keys over to someone else. Have you thought about that huge responsibility that's going to be on your shoulders?
Yeah, no doubt, Chris. You know, my main goal in the next 15, 20, 25 years, whatever it may be, is you know, I have a responsibility now of training young professionals underneath me, building their skills, moving them on to head pro jobs, and, you know, all while taking care of the Seminole members and their guests and creating the right experience day in and day out. You know, I'll cross that bridge when we get down there. But, you know, I think if I do half the job that Bob did, that Jack Druga did, of developing young pros and moving them along, I think that decision gets a lot easier. Maybe it gets harder because there's more candidates. But, you know, that's my main responsibility, is just to really train great professionals, move them on to head pro jobs of their own, kind of create that tree that, you know, I was lucky enough to be part of with Bob and Jack and Pat Gunning. And move people on. And, you know, once we get to that point, you know, maybe that decision will be a lot easier down the road.
Matt, before I let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're out there doing, whether they're following you online or it's on social media?
You know, most of my stuff is really through the South Florida PGA. So we've got a great section down here, play section events. Their social media kind of covers a lot of stuff that we do. So that would be the best way to find me. And, you know, other than that, I'll just keep plugging away and keep doing the best I can.
Well, Matt, it's certainly been a huge thrill getting to spend some time with you and having you as part of the show. I hope you'll come back and do it again sometime.
I would love to, Chris. I can't thank you enough for having me on, and appreciate your interest. And thanks for helping make the game of golf better and getting more people involved. That's for sure. That's a great, great thing.
It certainly is. Take care, Matt. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
You too. See you, Matt.
Bye-bye.
That is the great Matt Cahill, folks. You want to talk about a young man that is out there doing fantastic things. I mean, think about that. He is the ninth PGA professional, head golf pro, at Seminole in its history. And again, you look at some of the guys that are on that list. World Golf Hall of Famer Henry Picard, Claude Harmon, Jerry Pittman, Bob Ford, and now Matt Cahill enters as the next guy that's there. I mean, what a huge honor. And it's, from the course of the conversation, you can see why his name has been added to that list. Just a wonderful individual. Obviously, you heard it in the first segment from Tom Patry, a little bit from Bob Ford hearing of Matt, and then you got a big taste of it during the course of the conversation. Matt is going to do wonderful things. He is going to be the next Bob Ford there. He's going to actually be his own man and make his own way there at Seminole. Again, Seminole's a course that most of us have never even seen. I mean, we got a glimpse of it finally a couple of years ago at a TaylorMade tournament that they had put together, a skins game there. That's kind of our first look into the Batcave for what Seminole looks like. So Matt is going to take that job over. He's going to take it, you know, into the next century and do so many wonderful things. And like I say, what a privilege to get to spend some time with him. Hopefully we get that privilege again very, very soon. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this edition of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again to Tom Patry, Dr. Bob Winters, and Matt Cahill for joining me this week. Scheduled to join me next week are PGA Master Professional John Hughes will be back. The guy who knows what goes with Pittsburgh sports and golf, the great Paul Alexander, will be here. Paul has been a wonderful friend for many, many years. I can't thank him enough for all his support over the years. Looking forward to catching up with him. Another one of the great sports talk radio hosts, another one of the greats of all time, Zig Fricassi, will also be here. And then we're going to round things out with Mike Goomba, one of the all-time great golf instructors. Rob Strano will be back. So, folks, it's going to be a fantastic show. I hope you'll come back and be a part of it with us. I want to thank our friends again over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. For coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, go to triblive.com. You can find this show by then clicking on the sports section tab, and you're going to see the most recent episode front and center for you right there on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on sports and then podcast network You'll then see the Next on the Tee logo. Click on that, and many of the most recent episodes from this season are going to be right there for you as well. You can also find the show pretty much anywhere you get your podcast content, including over on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and GolfNewsNet.com. And as always, big thanks to the great folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. So please download their free app and stream your favorite podcast right there on your favorite device. But like I say each and every week, my biggest thanks go out to each and every one of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate each and every one of you so very much. Until next week, hit them straight, my friend.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on Trib Live or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here, where the best minds in golf share their stories.